Life in the Mohawk Valley today is vastly different from generations ago. Long gone are the factory whistles calling workers to their shifts in old mill towns. Fort Plains still benefits from little-known inventor William Yerden and Utica baseball player George Burns was so skilled that fans called left field Burnsville. Well, few realize that a local artist shared a special bond with John Philip Sousa, one of the nation's greatest musicians. The Tamarack Playhouse was once the venue of spectacular theatricals, and as time goes on, there are fewer alumni to remember Amsterdam's Bishop Scully High School. Local author and local broadcasting legend Bob Cudmore shows that while lost, these and other compelling stories no longer need to be forgotten. So he's written a book about it. It's called Lost Mohawk Valley. And we welcome Bob Cudmore to the program. Good morning, Bob.
Well, good morning, Joe. Great to be here.
Very nice to have you with us. Also is one of your co-conspirators, Dave Green, also a great broadcaster in this region who I know has been working with you on several of these projects. So it's great to have Dave Green here as well.
Indeed.
Indeed. Thank you for the invite.
Well, thank you very much. All right. So what brought you down this road of you've been doing this work for a long time.
Yes, I followed this path for a while, and I've decided I really like it, writing about local history. Basically, I do a weekly column on Mohawk Valley history, which in my terms kind of starts in the Amsterdam area and goes west and then up north through Johnstown and Gloversville. And then periodically, I've been gathering the stories into a book. My column runs without pictures in the Daily Gazette, and in the book, we put in lots and lots of pictures. And this time, with the theme of Lost Mohawk Valley, I wanted to look at things that aren't there anymore. And one thing I focus on in the first chapter is the carpet industry in Amsterdam, which you have a personal connection to. My dad was a carpet weaver, but it's something that is gone. I mean, the carpet making in Amsterdam left decades ago, and what we're left with is a lot of pictures and stories. And in the past, maybe I focused on the people that owned the carpet mills, but in this particular book, I've focused on the people that worked there, like my dad and the many women who were mill workers and so forth. And you gave a good list of all the other topics that, or some of the other topics which I've dealt with in this book. Up in Johnstown and Gloversville, for example, we didn't put in the news release about it, but I have a section or a chapter on George Senator.
Yes.
You may remember from history.
Yes.
He was Jack Ruby's roommate.
And well, I didn't remember that until I read the book, but yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Fascinating stuff. One of the things that I just said is, as time goes on, there are fewer alumni to remember Amsterdam's Bishop Scully High School. And that's sort of the case with a lot of this stuff, mm-hmm. right? As generations go and new generations come into the scene, this is the stuff that is lost. And it's people like you and Dave who remind us that, yeah, these things are around and they're still very important, and there's a reason that perhaps we do things in town that we don't know why we do them.
What I do with Dave at his Eastline studio is a history podcast, which we have on SoundCloud and my website, where I interview people about local history or about other historical topics. So that kind of keeps the flame burning as well.
And what is... those oral histories are really important, aren't they?
It is. It is. It really is. And it's fascinating... the internet has opened up such possibilities around the globe, and you hear from people you never expected to hear from. Especially interesting is, you know, the favorites. People, you know, I'm following you. You have your favorites. What's interesting is that most of them seem to be very young people.
Yeah. Because they probably have either they have a vague memory or they remember their parents talking about mm-hmm. it or their grandparents talking about it and want to know a little more.
It's inescapable.
About it. Yes, it is inescapable. You're absolutely right.
The one thing I find is I write mainly about the fairly recent past, you know, the past that somebody can remember.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, for example, you mentioned Bishop Scully High School, which I think opened in 1966, and closed in 1990. So it so happens that the current, maybe even movers and shakers in the Amsterdam area, if, you know, they were Catholic and went to that school, they remember Bishop Scully, but it's, you know, it's gone. It's currently used as a Catholic grade school, but it was there, had its moment, and it's passed from the scene.
I do want to mention the book is published by the History Press. It's a beautiful book. They put together just do a beautiful job on it, as you mentioned, the columns, but the photographs too. And it's a really lovely collection.
Well, I thank you for that. And the cover is quite striking, if you ask me, with the speed skaters from Fort Johnson. I just received in the past 24 hours this beautiful lengthy email from a woman whose grandfather was, you know, the guy on the left, and her uncle was the guy in the middle, and she remembered all the things about speed skating in Fort Johnson, which was in the late 30s, early 40s. Fort Johnson, a little suburb, if you will, of Amsterdam, but it had its skating rink and just produced these phenomenal athletes. One of them made it to the Olympics in 1940, the Olympic team, but there were no Olympics. But, you know, he was, you know, qualified as an Olympic skater.
It seems as though if there is an elephant in the room when you're talking about this, it is the mills and the mills that have gone. And even if the story doesn't directly relate to that, it still relates to that.
Yes, because the mills produced, for example, in Amsterdam, the carpet mills had a real social aspect to it. You know, maybe political scientists might even call it welfare capitalism or something, but they did things for their employees. One of the mills, the Mohawk, where my dad worked, they had a park, which still exists. It's now called Shuttleworth Park. They had a band. They had a chorus, which even appeared on national television. It was sort of, well, I'm going to say all-encompassing. I mean, it's not, you not only worked in the mills, but you kind of were part of this mill culture.
Mm. And some of the pictures that Bob's captured within his book, especially some of the ladies in some of those pictures, as soon as you look at that picture, you're looking at their face and you're trying to think, what exactly were they thinking at the time?
Yeah. The pictures are incredible. Where do they come from? How do you collect those?
The mill pictures, and I really should credit them, exclusively came from the Walter Elwood Museum, which is Amsterdam's local museum, and it has a collection of pictures that came from both of the major carpet companies, Mohawk and Bigelow Sandford. And also, some of the comments on the women workers in particular came from the director of that museum, Ann Piconi.
It's funny, as you were mentioning that, I just looked down and just, this woman here, what do you think she's thinking? I mean, besides, like, why am I wearing this uncomfortable dress? And what chance is this going to get caught up in the machine? There's a picture on the back of the book that has her in front of one of these machines.
It's odd you mention that picture, because Ann Piconi told me that's her favorite picture from the mill. And she says that the woman, you know, looking at the woman, you think that she's thinking she'd rather be anywhere.
Absolutely.
Anywhere but here.
Absolutely. I don't want to be here and
the attitude has not changed over the years.
Well, no. And this guy's sort of looking over his shoulder with a hat on, and you just want to kind of smack him. But anyway.
Good point.
you can see these pictures again. The book is beautiful. It's Lost Mohawk Valley. And you're going to be at Mysteries on Main Street. It's a bookstore in Johnstown, New York. And you're going to have a signing tonight from 5 to 7. So.
I will. And next Thursday night, I'll be at the Hegeman Historical Society. And then a week from this Saturday, I'll be at the Walter Elwood Museum with some other local authors.
And it is bobcudmore.com for more information. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. Let me ask you as far as when you look at what we've lost, are we getting better at collecting this so that these stories aren't lost? I mean, obviously the work you're doing, obviously the work that the museums and the Historical Society are doing is very important. But what can we do more, especially in this age of technology and the internet and not having the paper documents?
Mm. Well, I think the internet is the key factor or a key factor. I do a lot of my research online now. There's this gentleman up near Rochester who's just has digitized thousands and thousands of upstate New York newspapers, so you can find clippings from long ago. But I think we are doing a better job of putting things online and also into book form. A gentleman named Mike Cinquanti that I know from Amsterdam has been doing this daily blog of birthdays of local people who are prominent or just well-known. And, for example, he's coming out with a book on that in a month or so. And, you know, that goes very – you can mine so deep with the Internet and the information you gather. You know, you can
– Your recent guest said an embarrassment of information.
That's true. Yeah, embarrassment. That's true.
The you know, for so many of us, I mean, I know growing up in this area, I'm going to make a connection here, but for me growing up in this area, I learned a lot about the Mohawk Valley from listening to you on the Contact Radio program on WGY. I mean, obviously,
you're
this
not that old.
Oh, please. this is 19. This is obviously in Schenectady, oldest radio station, and you would get on and you would tell story. I mean, you would talk about because you're from there because you. Mm-hmm. So yep. That's what we do in radio because we don't have anything else to talk about. We talk about how we grew up.
We can't show the pictures.
That's
yet.
Right. That's absolutely. Right. So, and I remember thinking, oh, you know, these are always these things that I wanted to mention. And you would often bring those into your interviews. And it's one of the things, I don't want to like completely hijack the conversation here, but I do think that it's a shame because we have become shows like that. And, you know, WGY is now all national, you know, content mostly, that you lose that local flair.
We know exactly where you're going.
Well, you both have been through it. I mean, you had your show in Amsterdam up until last year, and then when you lose that, you lose that.
Yeah, well, but you're here.
Yeah, right. But here again, I mean, we do, but we're also a large station that goes. I mean, much like GY was, you know, it went all over the place. Which you're yep. right, but we're kind of the last. I mean, you know, if I get a pink slip today, then where do I go?
Well.
I mean, that's sort of where we're all in it. I guess that's what I'm saying about about radio and these stations. That all these towns used to have the stations that were very good in giving people.
It may be working itself back a little bit to local broadcasting. If you read up on broadcasting, you find more and more articles, especially the salespeople who run the organizations, who say you've got to get the local back into local.
Well, I hope so. Yeah. I hope so because it was. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, for example, the podcast we're doing. I mean, yeah. That's what people can do. I mean, you're dealing with smaller audiences, obviously, you know, honestly, much smaller audiences. But again, you can go deeply into a specific subject and find an audience for it almost by magic online.
Well, at least we still have an opportunity to hear your golden voice, so that's good news. Lost Mohawk Valley is the name of the book. It is out from History Press. Bob Cudmore will be signing the book tonight at Mysteries on Main Street in Johnstown, New York, from 5 to 7. And you can find out more information about all of this and plus the podcast that you do with Dave. All of that is at bobcudmore.com.
That it is,
correct?
Sir.
Close enough.
Dave Green and Bob Cudmore, a great pleasure to have you both here. Thank you very much, and best of luck with the book and the projects.
Thank you very much.
Very nice to have you here. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.